Bibles to John chapter 1. I'll read those same three verses again, or four verses, I think it was. Yeah. And continue on with what we started last week. John chapter 1, beginning in verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And I spoke last week about him being in the world. Him being in the world he made. And the world not knowing him. And he came to unto his own, and his own received him not. Why? For the same reason, the world didn't receive him. They knew him not.
Yeah.
Luckily, he didn't stop there. The next verse says, but as many as received him. There are those that received him. Now, I ask that no one jump to conclusions. I don't figure anybody will here. But they do in other places. Because this verse doesn't tell you exactly how they received him. We get to that a little bit later. It doesn't explain how they received him. Just that it happened. Like I said, later on, we'll read and we'll talk about how they received him. But Jesus Christ was received by some. This is something that is true throughout the scripture, Old Testament and New. There are always a few. God has a chosen people. He always has had a chosen people. This fellow that we're reading about, Jesus Christ here, says the world was made by him. Well, before that world was made by him, there were those who were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Jesus Christ was received. There's always a few. And just as we read before, there's always a many. In this case, with the references given, it's evident. The references given later on, you don't want to be part of the many. You want to be part of the few. Because we have, in the words of Christ himself, many are on a broad way. Now there is a narrow way, and there's a straight gate, but few there be that find it.
Yeah.
But as many as received him, some received him. There is no number given. There never is. Other than in Revelations, it says it's a multitude no man can number. But I can tell you how many received him from the scriptures. As many as received him as the Father had given him.
Yeah.
That's all we know. Because all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will no doubt raise up at the last day. Him that cometh to me will never be cast out. And everyone that the Father giveth comes to me. I love that. I can tell you how they found it. They received it. It doesn't say how they received it, but we'll get to that. But here's a hint. It's a gift. Walter's been talking about it for a while now. Any receiving of Christ is a gift from Christ. Every receiving from Christ, of Christ, is from Christ. Some receive the Son of God, but only because of the Son of God. The next section says, to them gave he power. And I'm going to tell you something. I've heard the world get really tied up in that. He gave power, but not as the world perceives power. Because what he gives is not the power of the world. And there is a power in the world. There is a prince of the power of the air. He's out there. And they can do miracles and signs and wonders better than I can. They can put on a better show than I can. And they can tug on emotional heartstrings a lot better than I can. But that's not what we're talking about here. The world does not understand true power. All they know is what they can think of. They think of money, think of cars, they think of wealth, fame, fortune, whatever. When they think of power, even in religious societies, they don't think of God. They don't think of Christ, the one who came into this world, who made this world. That's not what they're thinking of. Even in the secular world, you know, we've broken the power of the atom. We can split an atom, and it creates a really big explosion. And that's wonderful, I guess, in a certain twisted way of looking at it. Because as far as man goes, Walter, that's impressively destructive. But I'm here to tell you one thing right now that the world doesn't understand about power. Destruction is easy. Creation is hard. No one has ever made an atom. And no one ever will, as far as I know. No one has ever made anything the way God made it, out of nothing. What was the old joke? God made everything he made out of nothing, and if he ever ran out of nothing, he'd make more of that. It's a little facetious, but it's true. God speaks, and things happen. Things are created. That's power. And when God speaks to a man and calls him by name, and when he says unto him, live, that's power. And that's life. He will live. Christ has real power, and Christ gives real power. He gives power because he gives himself to his people. They received him. It's not just that they received life, though they did. It's not just that they received faith, though they did. they received him. He is power, and this power is to as many as have received him. And this power is not given to the world. This power is totally unknown of the world. We talk about it, about how God shall give them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. And we make the reference, and it's true. If you're deluded, you don't know you're deluded, because that's the definition of being deluded. The world doesn't know anything about life from God, about the power given by Christ. And the world doesn't know anything about receiving him. Even those that were his own. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But some did. And really, it's kind of okay, because the world doesn't want that power. They want all other kinds of power, but they don't want his power. The other thing is, how do we get this power? He gave it. It's not earned. It's not merited. We don't take anything from the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. He gives. He gave us power. Walter, we don't even have to claim it. There's the whole bunch running around nowadays where you've got to claim the promises of God. And that's the way you have to say it. God. Or Jesus. I've heard it both ways. And I've heard it without that. I don't have to claim anything. He gives. The Son gives, and guess what? You receive. When the Son gives, you receive. I like it. That's the way it's got to be for me, because I can't do anything. I don't have to claim it. He gave. And he gave to as many as received him. And then this next statement, the end of the verse. To become the sons of God. That is just such a wonder that I feel bad if I was to claim it, Mason. It humbles me that I can say, in faith, that I am a son of God. Not the son, but a son. World of difference between the two. He gives power, I get it. He gives power, I have it. I am a son of God. You are a son or daughter of God, if you know him. Because he gave it. No other reason. Again, no worthiness. None. The world doesn't realize it takes the power of God to become a son of God. They think all you have to do is be willing. Go ahead, do it. You will be willing in the day of his power. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. That's what it takes. It takes the power of God, given by God, to become the sons and daughters of God. And I like the way it says that, the sons of God. We were talking about it last week while we were in there, kitchen, just basically running our mouths and enjoying each other's company and fellowship. Earl told me once, and he wasn't too worried about, and I don't want to boast you up too much, but he wasn't too worried about this group, because he said this group was pretty sound. You heard the truth and you received the truth here. He wasn't too worried about the way, if somebody would come in and preach a message, that it would just lead to an anarchy. There's a reason, and I'm not saying it is a point of pride or anything like that. It's scriptural. Ephesians 4 and 14 reads this way, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lay in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. That's part of being the sons and daughters of God. There comes a time when we're not to desire milk, but the meat. The truth of God as it is. Milk's true just as well as meat, but there comes a time that you want something just a little bit more substantial. We are not to be carried about by every wind of doctrine, because to have eternal life is to know the Father and the Son. To know them. And that is also given to us. But it takes his power. Nothing else will do but the power of Jesus Christ. Who becomes the sons of God, the daughters of God? Same answer. As many as the Father gave him. To whom he gave the power. Even to those that believe on his name. Those who believe Christ are the sons and daughters of God. It takes the power of Jesus Christ for anyone to believe him. What Walter's been talking about. We are saved by grace through faith. And that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any should boast, because we would. We would boast if we could. We're bad enough at it as we are. We are the sons of God because we know him and believe him, and trust him, and love him. The sons and daughters of God know some of the will of God. The sons and daughters of God know the Son of God. The sons and daughters of God know the Father and come to him. Because we have not received again the spirit of bondage unto fear, but the spirit of adoption. We are his children. we are part, believers are part of the family of God. The church is the bride of Christ. All of this is familiar representations. That's the power he gave to us. We can cry, Abba, Father, because we know the Father and the Son because of his gifts. Now I finally get to where I was headed with this, which were born. I love this illustration because it is just right. To be a child of God is to be chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. That happened before the world was ever made. But to know that you are a child of God, you must be born again. Or if you prefer, you must be born from above.
Right, above.
Because born again has been used to death in this world. Born from above. It leads me to suspect that our natural birth was not enough. Our natural life does not equip us with the power. Not the power it takes to become the Son of God or a Son of God. I don't know. Well, yeah, actually I do, because this is pretty much simple. I had nothing to do with being born. I was there. But I was unconscious of the fact, Mason. I have no memory of the fact. I have no knowledge of it other than the fact that I'm standing right here. Now, I was number 5 of my mother's 8 children. So I didn't even get any of the really bad labor stories. My mom was in the hospital with my youngest sister. And this doctor come in and was teaching all the other ladies about how to care for a baby, a newborn, and all that stuff. And my mom was sitting over in the corner reading a book. And they said, well, isn't she going to come for the class? And they looked at him and said, no, this is her 8th child. So, well, maybe she would want to teach it. But when I was born, my mother was there, and I was there, but I didn't know anything about it. I didn't have a thing to do with it. That's exactly it. I didn't have a thing to do with it. I was just a blob of flesh and probably screaming my head off because I didn't know what was going on. This is the metaphor that they use for the new birth, for regeneration. Born. Christ said it using this metaphor. You must be born from above, born again. Now the operative word in that sentence is must. The next operative word is born. And the next word is above. Must be born from above. The new birth is a necessity. It is necessary. And I had nothing to do with it. And neither does any believer. No one has ever asked to be born except Christ. He made this world and then he came into this world. He condescended to come down. I did not. I didn't condescend to come into this world, and I didn't condescend. I didn't ask, want, or was not even looking for life from God. And that's scriptural. I am found of those that sought me not, because there's none that seeketh after God. None that doeth good, no, not one. The new birth is a necessity. Regeneration is necessary because education doesn't work. Reformation is not possible. Your parents can't help. We'll find that out here in a minute. Your preacher can't help. We'll find out a little bit of that in a minute. And as you read the rest of this verse, you will find out what we are as fleshly, earthly creatures is not enough. Something new had been promised, and something new was given. Somehow, some way, someone is going to receive him, just as some had received him. Those that have received him are the sons and daughters of God. They were born that way, from above. John goes on to state how this happens, but he starts first with the negatives. And it's time for me to stop. He gives three negatives, and then the positive. One positive from God overrules all the negatives. It doesn't matter about any negative when God's involved and it's a positive. And if God's involved and it's a negative, you're in big trouble. But that's what we always are. But when God's positive, the negatives go away. John writes it here, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. Those are the three negatives. Those are the three things that the world teach every day, and certainly every Sunday. If you take the first step, God will meet you there. If you come on up here and say the sinner's prayer, God will save you. If you do this, God will do that. And if you want to do this, you will do this. Oh, and if you resist, hold on, brothers. God will pass you by. God has never, ever passed by one of his children. Ever. I don't care who you are or what you say or what you think or who listens to this and what they think. The Father, Holy God, Almighty Creator of heaven and earth has never lost a child that he wanted to save. Because they were born. Each and every one of them. And I'm going to stop right there because it's time. But we'll come back to this next week. And I'll spend a bit on that. Because after the three negatives, you have the positive, which were born of God. And the blood, the heredity, the will of the flesh, and the will of the man can't touch of God. Because of God is where it is.
Yeah.
Of God is where it always has been.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ is the same yesterday. That's Old Testament. If you want to put it that way. Today and forever. The only way anyone was saved in the Old Testament is that they were born from above. That's it.
Yeah.
If you want to get into the will of the flesh, you can get into the will of law. Keep the law. He didn't save anybody. If the First Testament had worked, we wouldn't need the second.
Yeah.
And the First Testament didn't work because of us. Not because there's anything wrong with the Testament. And there was nothing wrong with the covenant. There was something wrong with us.
Yeah.
And it's called death. And it's not the will of flesh, it's not the will of man, and it's certainly not of blood.
Yeah.
And it never has been. It has always been of God. Born of God. That is, Walter, born from above.
Mm-hmm.
Born of God. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful again for this time, this place. Lord, most thankful for your Son, our Lord, who came and gave himself a ransom for many, who gives life, quickens, even as the Father quickens, the Son quickeneth, whom he will. And we thank you for the life you have given us in Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.